No furloughs, no bankruptcies, no debt. Nevada's live and local talk radio, 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
John Potter, live and local until noon, and we can get into this topic at 11:30 because I have a guest in the studio, but let's this is on the last segment here. Rich in, oh, okay, somebody's texting and saying, Rich in South Reno, that was a call we had, is to be commended to for a great idea. Cutting mail to 3 days a week seems like it would make for tremendous savings. I bet when the post office was first started, back in the days of Benjamin Franklin, they did not deliver mail 6 days a week. How did we survive? The idea of having a full-time, federally funded post office in tiny little towns that don't even have a fire department sounds like backwards priorities to me. But I don't know if a volunteer post office would work. Thank you to whoever... Do you agree with that, Sean?
I actually think that's a fantastic idea.
There you go.
And if you need to pick up your mail, maybe you could just go down there and pick it up if you need like that extra day of mail.
Oh, believe me, we're going to hear from people. I can't do that, and I don't have any friends or any family. All these people move here with no family. I don't understand how people can say they have no family. Everybody has family. It makes me think that, oh, you must have ticked them off or something. You know, if you need help and you say you have no family.
That or they looked into the snow and they're like, oh, no, I don't want to go where it snows.
Okay. Sean is the main man, right, at Sargent's Appliance?
Yes, I am the main.
You sound like one. Now, folks, why is Sean here? Actually, for my benefit. I mean, appliances, I buy them and I try to take care of them. And I know where mine are, and that's about it. But we were just talking before we went on the air about, and this was actually my first question, Sean, what about all the smart house stuff? Appliances are like internet receptacles, and it's odd to relate to them in that way. What about the smart house stuff, aside from Sargent's Appliance? What's your experience? And you just bought a new house, and I guess you have a lot of smart house stuff inside. What's it been like?
So I did just get a new house, and it came with all this new technology stuff, and I'm traditionally not a like innovation kind of guy, but I figured since I sell appliances with said innovation, I might as well like jump in and see what it's like. Last night, we tried to make popcorn in our microwave that's all Wi-Fi and all this fancy stuff. It didn't have a popcorn button. We're like, okay. So there was like, sign on to Wi-Fi for more options.
Oh, no.
We went on this 45-minute journey of trying to figure out how to get popcorn cooked in our microwave, where it had to go through all these updates and things. And I was like, wow, I could see you actually needing to cook something. And it's like, oh, wait, hold on. We have to do the newest update before you could use something. So that was my first experience with an appliance that hooked up to Wi-Fi, needed all these updates, and you were trying to utilize it for those features, and it was just not the best experience. And I'm actually probably going to return my microwave.
No popcorn button, and I'll tell you why. Because they want it to look cool, right? They just they want it to be sleek and black and no buttons. No button. There's a war on buttons, folks, and I blame Apple for starting this all. But you do have to go through hoops to find out stuff and play around with little screens and cars to turn the radio volume up. It's just darn ridiculous. What's wrong with buttons and dials forsaking them just to look like a cool thing?
And no offense to these guys, but they're programmed by IT professionals and really smart guys that use terminology that some of us laymen don't really necessarily know. So you're going through the options and you're like, okay, where's the Wi-Fi button? And then you find out it's under the connectivity setting. You're like, oh. So if you're not really too technically savvy, it actually kind of gets difficult. So if you ever have anything like that, or you buy something from us, or really anybody, and you have questions, just call us up and we'll see if we can field it for you.
It's not even just technology. I was in a hotel room once where I couldn't figure out how to turn the shower on. Have all these weird knobs and things. And come on, folks. Okay, so let me ask you this, because I have some notes here, and people have been asking around. I didn't know such a thing existed. What's your opinion of heat pump dryers?
This is a fantastic topic, actually. You brought up a good one.
Do you sell these?
I try not to.
Oh, this is good to know then. Heat pump dryers, folks. Sean, what did you find out about those?
So what a heat pump is it's a little refrigerator. So if you have a heat pump refrigerator or a heat pump dryer, which is actually also called a ventless dryer, it has a little refrigeration unit inside of it. So how your refrigerator creates hot air, they're using that hot air to dry your clothes, and then the cold air, they're blowing the wet air across the coils to then condense it so you don't need a vent, and then you take the water and you dump it out. Sounds good, but it takes forever. So Europe uses a lot of these because they have older houses that don't have vents, so they utilize a lot of these heat pump dryers. If you get an all-in-one washer dryer, that's a washer and a dryer all in one unit, it is a ventless heat pump dryer. If you don't have the space for, you know, a washer dryer, or if you don't have a vent, it's a good option, but one cycle on drying is like 2 or 3 hours. If you have an all-in-one, you could be looking at 4 or 5 hours for a complete cycle, which works for some people because sometimes it takes them 5 hours to, you know, wash, and then it sits around for a while, then they put it into the dryer. So if you are one of those people, it might work out good, but the technology, in my opinion, is just not the best because you got a refrigerator in there. It's got refrigerant. It's got a bunch of connective tubing.
Why do they bother? What's the advantage to possible advantage to this? Why do they make this ridiculous system?
It's more energy efficient. So if you have a 200...
That is more energy efficient, taking hours?
Because the compressors don't take a lot of electricity, where if you have a heating element that's 220 volts, that it uses just more electricity. So it is more energy efficient, but it's not like it's going to last longer. It's not a commercial style that you can make into that.
And not only that, they cost more.
They're considerably more expensive.
They cost considerably more to buy them than other types of tumble dryers, and they dry clothes as slower, as Sean said. Okay, let's move to washers. And folks, if you have any questions about appliances, here's the man, 884-9910, text or call. The washer. I was told something I never knew. I've never heard this before. With the washer, fabric softener leaves a lot of goop in the clothes washer innards. It gets all goopy, and this mold could grow. It's just absolutely foul, and you have to clean it? You have to clean the inside of a washer because you used fabric softener? Have you ever heard this?
Absolutely. So Maytag actually came out with one of the first modern front-loading machines. It was called the Neptune. Came out in 1997. They got sued horrifically because the inside of the machine was growing mold, and they used to think it was the machine manufacturer not doing something correctly with their machines and their manufacturing process that was making the mold. But then, like, jump into the future, we're starting to realize it's the things that we're adding to it. So fabric softener is actually made of fats. So if you were to have too much suds inside of your washing machine, you're like, oh, I added too much soap, and you added a touch of oil or fabric softener, you would notice the suds instantly disappear. And that's because it's cutting the soap suds to where they can't do that, which is actually part of its process, is it's removing the excess soap that's inside your washing machine so it can wash it out clearer, and then it adds a little bit of a scent to it. The problem is it's sticking to the tub as it's draining or as it's just sloshing around. So there are some machines that as it's draining, it's actually spinning the tub, so it's like cleaning the tub every time that it drains. Most washers actually have the water just sitting there stagnant, and then it drains, which just leaves this film on the side of the inner drum, or the outer drum, which you can't get to. And then after a while, mold spores and just dirt will get in there and then start to grow mold. That's why most modern washing machines have a clean washer cycle. And it tells you to use it often because it fills it up empty and it vigorously agitates it, trying to get rid of some of that buildup that's in the drum.
What's the function on some of these washers you just said? What's the button? What's
the clean washer cycle?
Clean washer cycle? What the heck?
Yeah, if you look at it, most washing machines, if you have a modern washing machine, probably right. within like the last 5 years, has a clean washer cycle.
What if you don't have that? What should you do?
You just put it on the hottest load you can with the highest setting that you can and put vinegar in there. So I actually tell people this often. If you do not use fabric softener and you're still worried about like your machine starting to smell, add vinegar to your fabric softener dispenser with every load. Not a whole lot, just a little bit of white distilled vinegar. It'll disinfect the machine. It helps keep the colors in the fabrics, and it works as a fabric softener.
Well, I know they sell these products to run through the washer. You know, the person who told me this said they even make these tablets you can drop in there. And it'll break the fats up. And if it's really bad in your washer, you might find this on YouTube. He knows somebody who pulled the cylinder spinner thing out and pressure washed it. and I said, can't you just buy a new washing machine? My God. But you say you can't get to it.
You have to disassemble it. So if you have a top load, you got to take it all apart. You got to remove the inner drum.
God.
If you have a front loader, you're really in trouble because it's comprised of two drums that are sandwiched together in the center. And once you disassemble those and take the inner drum out, you have to replace the seal, or at least you have to repack it with grease. It's just a whole lot more complicated. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So if you have a new machine and you use fabric softener, which I do not recommend, use the clean washer cycle, use some of the distilled vinegar, just do everything that you can to try and disinfect the inside of the machine.
Yeah, I think fabric softener is really overrated. I like the feeling of crisp, clean clothes and not like I'm wearing, a sweater all the time. I'm anti-fabric softener.
I actually just heard this the other day.
What?
Clean doesn't have a scent. And I was like, oh, okay, that actually makes sense.
What is cling? Is that
clean?
Oh, clean. Okay.
Clean.
Clean doesn't
clean
have a scent.
Doesn't have a scent. So a lot of people are going for is to scent their clothes now, right? Mm-hmm. A lot. This has actually started. Like if you see, they have like those Tide beads. That's because our washing machines are starting to stink. So now they're trying to mask that with other things to make your clothes smell good instead of like stagnant water.
This is such good stuff for people to know. Stick around 10 more minutes if you can, Sean. Folks, if you have questions about your appliances or what should you get? And also, Sean, whatever you want to talk about, what's going on at Sargent's Appliance, that's up next. I'm John Potter, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:18.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk. True.
John Potter live and local 9 to noon on Saturdays right here on these stations. Honored to have Sean from Sargent's Appliance. Is that the full name of the store?
We used to be Sargent's Maytag, but we kind of dropped the Maytag off because people were thinking that's all we did was Maytag, even though we fix all brands and we sell other brands. So we call ourselves Sargent's Home Appliance Center.
And my mistake here, I haven't even given the address of your store. What is it?
It's 1190 Rock Boulevard. We are on North Rock, not South Rock. If you go to South Rock, you're like 20 minutes away. So
what's the nearest intersecting street?
We're in between Prater and Audi.
Oh, okay.
Like where the old Butcher Boy used
to be. Well, I know. I'm just for the benefit of the people listening.
Or the first Porta Subs.
And you have a showroom, which is kind of very cool, actually. It's a working showroom. If you really want to see how these appliances operate, you can turn them on right there on the floor.
Yeah, so it's not fancy. We're actually trying to make a new, fancier store where everything's going to be like hidden away. But yeah, if you want to know what a washing machine sounds like, if you want us to fill it up with water, we are capable of doing
really?
All that. Absolutely. I actually sold a couple units that way. Lady wanted to know the difference between the sounding of this unit and another unit. I brought them over, plugged them in, ran one, ran the other, and that actually made the decision for her.
What brands do you sell, Sean?
We sell Maytag, Whirlpool, KitchenAid, Amana, and Speed Queen in the laundry.
I have a question because you just reminded me with that heat pump dryer. Sean says don't bother with them, but it just reminded me of something about utilizing or capturing, I guess, the heat in your house instead of letting it go out of the house. And here's the question I have. I have a vented dryer, and it goes, up and out of the house with a hose. It lets that laundry smell out into the yard, and it's a glorious thing. Is it a bad idea If I pull that external vent out and just let it run into my basement with like a screen or a lint trap, and I'll just clean it often. But that air into my basement, because that's heat, you know, otherwise you're just pumping it out of your house. And I pay a lot for heat in the house. I don't want to waste it. And it's humidity, too. I like both in the winter. Crazy idea. Or, John, I think you're onto something.
I've personally done it before, so I could tell you firsthand, in the winter, it's fantastic. In the summer, no. But you do have to have a filter, so they actually make a filter box where you take your vent hose and you just put it right onto the filter box, screws onto your wall, blows the air right into your room. In winter, like if you want to heat up a room real quick, you just turn it on, it'll heat the room within like 3 minutes. But it does add moisture to the house. We don't really have to worry about mold around here, but it does do that. You got to make sure that you have a good filter on it, because it will add lint to that room.
It's not unsafe. It's just air from inside the dryer. Correct. And it's just for the winter. I thought that was a brilliant idea. Oh, my gosh, I had a brilliant idea. Craig, did you hear that?
Somebody call Ripley's. Hello, Ripley's.
I'm against heat pumps, but heat pump would allow you to do that. Now, you know, some people, if they're not producing BTUs through the burning of precious and finite resources, they're not interested. Oh, and by the way, that's another foreign metric, British thermal units. What's wrong with American thermal units, okay? Make America thermal again. I'm sorry, Sean.
You're good. So you actually, hold on. You brought up an interesting point. If you have a gas dryer, do not do that. If you have a gas dryer, you don't want to run it into your house, because it does have that pesky carbon monoxide.
Oh.
You do want to vent that out.
Oops.
You'll be taking a nice nap.
I could have killed 200 people today. Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, if you do have an electric dryer, you should try it out, especially during winter. You just
okay,
check it out.
Oh, my gosh. Electric. Now I'm thinking of the people who just heard that segment and switched the station and missed this part.
They went home to try it right now.
Oh, don't do it. Oh, my gosh. I should have thought of that. So only if it's electric.
You're probably safe.
If it's gas, it's going to generate, yes, carbon monoxide. If it's electric, you get a free pass. But if it's gas or propane, you sell propane dryers?
You got to convert a natural gas dryer to propane, and yes, we absolutely do that.
What's the advantage to going propane on dryers?
There is none. It's just if you're in, like, certain places, the Sun Valley or in, like, the North Valleys, or just have a propane tank, you just convert it from a natural gas dryer to propane. So there, between natural gas and propane, there's not a difference. They're both gas. But here's an interesting thing. If you don't have, like, an electrical plug, and you're looking for a way to get a heating dryer, you can get a normal dryer, convert it to propane, hook it up to a propane tank, and you're good to go.
I've never heard of this.
That's actually how we do them in the shop. So if we convert something over to propane, and we need to check it, of course, we hook it up to a propane tank, and you're good to go. And it'll last a while, too.
Do the manufacturers make that easy?
You need a couple different hookups to hook it up to the propane
really?
Tank.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
There are great advantages to shopping at Sargent's. You know, I don't want to bring up a major competitor, but the Costco has no service department. You got to deal with the manufacturer. And I personally know somebody who got denied by Samsung when they wanted their appliance to be fixed. It didn't work at all after like a couple of months. And the manufacturer just said, no, we're, you know, for whatever reason, we're not going to fix it. Costco can't fix it. And you're stuck with it. And Costco doesn't, well, they deliver, but it's not them. They get this third-party delivery company. And how do they pick those third-party deliverers? They, whoever comes in with the lowest cost contract, or they're not good is what I'm saying. You go on Facebook and you'll see a lot of people complaining about the awful delivery. I don't want to bash here, but this stuff you should be made aware of. Anything to add to that, Sean?
It's true. I actually know a lot of the people that deliver for the box stores. Basically, if you buy from a bunch of the box stores, you're buying from like a third party. It's just like a go-between, because the people that service it or the people that deliver it are actually the ones that are holding the inventory. So they're just taking your sale and pitching it over to another company and then taking their portion of the
Yeah, the major complaint I hear about the third-party delivery people, they're very unqualified. They didn't do this right. They didn't do that right. And you can't exactly get things fixed. You know, if you're going through one party to another, you have your own repair department. You have your own delivery department, don't you?
I do. I do everything in home, and I've taught personally all of my people. So if you are a new delivery driver, now I actually have a general manager who I personally taught. So now he teaches my new delivery drivers. So if you ever come into our store and you want something delivered, it's somebody that myself or my general manager has personally trained. And it's the same way with our technicians. We have a technician that's been with us for 15 or 16 years. He's trained up in the shop. We have another technician that we've had for 5 or 6 years. I personally trained him up. It's just the way we like to do it, because then we know the expectation level is has been set correctly.
I could really relate to you with your new home and having difficulty with your smart things there. I learned this from the very beginning. This started back when refrigerators, the first thing that fails on a refrigerator, what is it? It's the ice maker. Always the ice maker fails. And if that fails, I don't want all this other stuff that's added that could also fail. My philosophy is that just the simpler, the better, and it will last a long time. Look at the washers and dryers. I like the ones with the just the one dial. You know, you sell those, right?
Oh, absolutely. So kind of to your point, in our country, we like innovation. We like to have all the latest and greatest things. And something I was taught a long time ago is more innovation does not mean more life.
Bravo, Mr. Sean. Bravo. You have a minute left. What can you tell us about Sargent's Appliance? If folks are interested, they can go today on Rock Boulevard. What do you say, Sean?
Really, I just like to stress that we like to help people out. So whether I'm going to be able to take care of you or not, come down or call us. We'll field your questions. We'll help you out. If we can't take care of you, we're going to help you find at least the place that can. And it's just because we're from this town, we know what it's like trying to get things accomplished. And sometimes you just need somebody to point you in the right direction. And that's what we're trying to do. We definitely just want to help you out so you're happy. And then maybe on the next one, we'll catch you.
All right. And don't vent that gas dryer into your into the carbon monoxide into your basement. You know, it's a wonder I didn't. We all didn't die in the trailer back in the day. Now we know about this stuff. Once again, what's your address?
1190 North Rock Boulevard. We're in between Prater and Audi and Sparks.
Is that where you're headed now?
Yeah, I'm headed back to the
shop. There you go, folks. Go see Sean at Sargent's Appliance. Sean, thank you so much, man.
And you can come see my wife, too. She's amazing and probably one of the best salespeople in town.
Outstanding, my friend. Outstanding. Going to break for Fox News, and it's open topic from you. You're next at 884-9910. I'm John Potter on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 1131.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. Taking along with Craig Swope's weather forecast there. Mid-60s. Yes, he said it. Mid-60s. And our current temperature in Reno is 51 degrees. Also updating you, this is a local show. That the injury crash in Fallon that we talked about, I let you know about that at 10 o'clock this morning. Troopers are still at the scene. It can't be as serious as it was an hour ago. They do a pretty good job wrapping up the scene, but it looks like a really bad crash there. Highway 50 going through Fallon. So Highway 50, double check that before you take the trip. On that note, actually, on the same subject, Reno Mayor Hillary Sheevy is making a bold move to reduce the flurry of fatal crashes, especially on McCarran Boulevard. Got this from News 4. She wants to annex the Loop Road, currently, you know, McCarran, currently maintained and patrolled by the state, to the city. A concerned resident now. There's a lot of value in this because NHP itself, or I'm sorry, Nevada State Police themselves have been talking about how they're terribly understaffed. And she wants the city to be able to have the power to patrol it and have it annexed, McCarran. Concerned residents appealed to the mayor for more safety on McCarran after several recent crashes, despite 50-mile-per-hour speed limits that they say drivers are going 70 or 80 on McCarran. Sheevy told News 4 that the city would improve policing and traffic, possibly teaming up with the state. The city will bring this up. at the next Reno City Council meeting this coming Wednesday. I wish I could go. I've had, gosh, how many near-death experiences? I just had one yesterday. I came within a hair of losing my life yesterday morning crossing the 580 ramp at Plum Lane. I pushed for the walk button, saw the yellow light come up for the cars waiting to enter Plum. I waited for it to turn red and then waited for the sign to say walk. I took a step and I swear this close to, now see, I wrote down the description, the license plate and everything, and I was also fired up this morning to shame this person. I have your license plate number, okay? I don't know what to do with it. I was going to read this on the air this morning, but like everything else in my life and in your life, you have to get over it. And so I'm over it. The experience.
Come on. Tell them the truth. You left the paper at home.
I have it right in front of me. You see it on your spy camera? He's got spy cameras that watch my every move. No, I was irate. You know how it is, folks, when you come this close because of somebody's stupidity and inattention, your top is ready to blow over it. And that's how I was, but I'm over it. I'm not going to forgive this person, but I also know that there are plenty more like this person out there. I have this license plate number. What do you suggest I do with it? 884-9910. Stay cool, John. Stay cool. The most bizarre, you have lost all sense of reality story this week that concerns Nevada. Folks, have you heard this? Our NFL part-time owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, and this is everywhere. You can find it online. It's an outrageous story. You'll probably doubt it, but you'll find it. Go look. It's on New York Post, People Magazine, U.S. Magazine. I'm picking this up from Google News, which puts all the Yahoo News. Check it out. The news came out this week that at the Super Bowl, Tom Brady gave his 15-year-old son Benjamin a $3 million diamond watch. Has like 100 diamonds. This kid is 15. I have so many questions about this. Story reads, in a Super Bowl recap video shared on YouTube, Tom Brady can be seen giving his teen son Benjamin a Jacob & Company's billionaire mini Ashoka watch, which is only one of 18 in existence and worth $3 million. On the video, you hear Brady say to Benjamin on a couch, "All right, Benny, close your eyes and put your wrist out." And the kid's happy. Though looking at the video, honestly, I was happier when I got my first Timex. You know, it brings to mind, actually, when I was in Las Vegas the week before last, and I was in the Forum Shops at Caesars, and there is a Rolex store there, one of three Rolex stores in Vegas. I didn't look to see if we have a Rolex store in Reno. I'm sure a lot of jewelers probably sell them. But anyway, talking with the people at the store, I found out that there are no Rolexes in Rolex stores. They are all fake imitation Rolexes under the glass. Is that true? And you can't buy anything in a Rolex store. They don't have anything you can buy there. If you want one, they put you down on a waiting list. And yes, it's a store, but they're all fakes. The people don't know it. And if you want a Rolex, they put you down on the waiting list. And they say it could take years. They say if you want a Rolex now, the store itself recommends you go find a secondhand Rolex. Wow. Let's go to the phones. Mark is calling from Reno at 884-9910. Hey, Mark, good morning. I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
How you doing, John? A couple of things. Time that there's a yellow light, that means go fast. That's what 99% of Reno people think. When that light turns yellow, you go fast. You don't slow down. Second of all, if you want to get mad at somebody, get mad at NDOT, because they're the ones for the last 2 years that have been changing the minutes on all of these lights throughout the whole state of Nevada, not just Reno. But if you notice, if you're driving, you notice these lights are 2 to 3 minutes longer than they've ever been before. And I don't know why they've done that, but that's what they've done.
I want the person in charge of the light timing to get a vehicle and take a drive around town. And I'm sure we could recommend certain streets and everything. It never fails. If you have three stoplights in close proximity, that third one is going to do the opposite of the first two. It's outrageous.
Pull out a picnic table and have a picnic before the light turns green. So, okay. That's the biggest thing with me is NDOT. They're changing the minutes on these lights, and it's not right.
Is it NDOT? I wonder if this...
Some lights are NDOT. Some lights are... Anything associated with the freeway is technically NDOT, but the RTC of that zone contracts with NDOT, and they do it for NDOT. So,
They might do it for, but NDOT's the one that puts down how many minutes, how many seconds... it's NDOT that's doing it.
And actually, I'm gonna do a little correction there. UNR students who are doing traffic light studies a few years ago, they were the ones that were making the recommendations, and that's where the light timings came from. But was UNR students from their class, and I can't remember which genre of class it was. RTC handles. I know I called about a light here in Carson City. At Fairview and 580, I called NDOT, and they said, contact Carson Public Works, because they're the ones that handle that for the Carson City area
When
that.
When I called, I talked to somebody on Channel 2 News, and they actually
Boo!
Got through.
Oh, no, we don't mention
Boo!
That. No.
You mentioned Channel 2!
Well, that's okay. They're the only ones that have my 2 cents, so when you have to call about my 2 cents, they're the only ones in town that have that.
I
don't know.
My 2 cents. Joe Hart gets a little bit deeper in solving things than my 2 cents. Now, come on.
Phone number?
Well, it's Channel 4.
I have his phone number. Yeah, it's KRNV. Four, sir. Four.
KRNV.
Channel 4, yes. the really woke network that we all love.
Oh, my gosh. No. You're so wrong. Yeah, I cannot watch... Ask my wife. I can't watch ABC or CBS News without spouting off and going into a rampage. I can put up with NBC News, and I think Channel 4 does the best local news in town. They're the only investigative local news station that we have here, and we have to support them. I've had enough of you.
And they have Channel 4 has the only people that actually spell check their website or their Facebook pages. 8 and 2.
All right, well,
have
you guys
there.
Have a good day, and be careful crossing the street, John.
Oh, is that a threat?
Might be a Channel 2 listener out there.
Okay. I'll see you, Mark. Thanks a lot. Why do I come here? I'm going to take our final break. The phone line's open for you to get in before I go at noon. I'm John Potter on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 11:47.
Live streaming at 991fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
John Potter, live and local. Thank you for your texts. Also, besides your calls at 884-9910. Sir, you should post your show on the Nextdoor app. Ha ha. You know, I've heard something similar to what this person is texting. Your
radio show sounds like I'm listening to Nextdoor.com.
We don't do lost cat reports, so you can't really say that. Although there are similarities, I meant to bring this up Thursday night, that hockey game, the United States versus Canada. And Canada won by some fluke. probably cheating. I don't know, fake news or something like that. But after the game, to make it even worse for us, there was some snotty remark from this fellow Trudeau or something, whoever. I don't know who the governor of Canada is. And as you know, there's been some controversy about whether or not Canada would become America's 51st state. I know a lot of Canadians, and they say, you know what they say to me? They say, I hope so. They wish, and I can understand why. Starting with the fact that Canada still has paper money with a British queen on them, and they have coins with birds. With birds on them.
Plastic okay, whatever. Money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, whatever, guys, you know. And if Canada was to become part of America, the 51st state, finally, they could have beer that doesn't suck up there, and that'd be all right. And they could, I think, lay aside that preposterous metric system. And listen, I appreciate the petitions signed by Canadians begging to be let in as America's 51st state. And if you did become America's 51st state, you could be on a winning Olympic team. And you know what would be a very good thing also? If Canada became America's 51st state, you folks up there, you could listen to something other than Anne Murray and Gordon Lightfoot on your radio. And that'd be a plus for you, no doubt. But sad to say, Canada will, and we can say it authoritatively, Canada will never be America's 51st state because Panama and Gaza come first. Oh, and Greenland. Greenland is up there, certainly ahead of Canada, right? So the best Canada can hope for is 54th state because Panama, I mean, they're 51 because they have a canal. And Gaza, to be honest, I'm sorry, it's going to be the Riviera of the Middle East. Gaza is 52nd state because it's a prime holiday. It's going to be a prime holiday area. But in Canada, I hate to disappoint you folks, the best you can hope for is to be the 54th state. But, you know, listen, you guys are swell, and you know, you're kind of interesting in sort of way, and we respect you a lot, but when you say you want to be the 51st state, I think you're reaching a little high there, you know? It's like when you're not the best-looking guy around and you hit on the pretty girl, it's like, you know what? You got to stay in your lane, buddy. Stay in your league. But I think that when Canada does become part of the United States, I think maybe the best that they can hope for is to be included as part of North Dakota. Because, you know, North Dakota doesn't really have anything else. So, you know, North Dakota would be like previously known as Canada. That's my thought on that. And it'll be great to have you guys. You know, one big plus is you won't have to learn French anymore. So you're welcome. And I know that sometimes Canadians refer to America as like their big brother, like America is the big brother country and Canada is our little brother. I think more little sister, but really, we're not brothers or we're your daddy, actually. Yes, we're your daddy, so it's fine. And that Niagara Falls, it's going to be Trump Falls, you know, going forward. Canada could be like America's backyard. I think I should stop now. I can't think of any other ways to offend some of the nicest people on earth, so I'm going to take a break, okay? I scribbled these bullet points with a smile on my face this morning. I meant to come off that way, but saying this on the radio, I sound like the biggest jerk, so I thought it was kind of amusing. But you know what? I have some past history with Canada. And, you know, I believe in forgiveness. Forgiveness is in my soul. But there are two things I can't let go of. And you know this. You know one is how they cut me off the air of Channel 2 after 20 years and see a buy. The second was owning property in Canada and selling it 3 years ago. The Canadians have a lot of property in Florida. and we don't tax the hell out of them. But the Canadian government taxes the heck out of Americans that own property in Canada. But I think we're going to let that go when they join us as a new state. And I propose New Maple as the state name. New Maple. Because they charge Americans extra property tax if we own land up there. And if you have a cottage up there and you don't sell it to a Canadian citizen, they charge you an additional tax. And forget about working there like all the Canadians come here and work here. I tried. You can't do it. I've been going to Canada since I was a kid. My family owned property up there. And I can tell you that until 20 years ago, it was extremely friendly. And the U.S. dollar and the Canadian dollar, they were interchanged at every store equally. But over the last 20 years, the attitude has changed, and not for the better, which is too bad. You know, we'll forgive all that when they join the team, and I hope they would be courteous and kind, but I have some reservations. Yes, Craig?
Well, I was going to say, if Canada became the 51st state, well, actually...
54th.
If Canada became part of North Dakota, of North Dakota, they would increase North Dakota's population by 50 times.
New Maple, yes.
Yeah.
I'm half serious. Just some bitterness. I love coming here and unloading that, and thank you folks for putting up with me. I'll talk to you again next Saturday, 9 to noon. Craig, as always, you did an awesome job. I appreciate it. This is 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:58. Bye-bye.